Gracious Lord, help us to always live in the presence of your Spirit in order that we may be drawn into the holiness of each person to whom you bring us face to face. Amen. Wake up! Wake up! That, my friends, is today's gospel message in sum, in two words. Wake up! Now, why would Jesus make a point of saying this? He does it with a parable. And in order to understand the parable, you need to understand just a little bit about how weddings worked in Jesus' day. Weddings generally lasted about 3 days. They always started at the bride's house, where the guests would gather, and there would be, of course, a feast. That would go on until late afternoon or evening, when everybody would meet the bridegroom who would come from his home. They would greet him with torches or with lamps, and then together there would be a lit procession from the bride's home to the groom's home, where the wedding would actually take place, and then there would be more celebration for another 2 days. In Jesus' story, the bridegroom is late. Not only that, but it turns out that the bridesmaids didn't bring enough oil. But that's a little bit of a deception, because the main thing point that Jesus wants to make is that they weren't alert. They weren't asleep. They weren't ready. So they weren't prepared for what was to come. They weren't prepared for God's coming. And what he is really talking about here is something that's, I think, a deep spiritual message. Because this is not just something, when he says, wake up, he's not just telling us that this would be good for us. This is what he says is a characteristic of the kingdom of God. One of the main things that we need to do in order to realize God's presence among us, God's kingdom among us. He's making a similar point to something that was made, about 100 years ago, a story I heard about a man, a spiritual teacher by the name of Gurdjieff. Now, Gurdjieff has a complicated teaching. I don't know it very well. But I do know that there's a number of Christian spiritual writers who I admire who have learned a lot from him. And I've heard one story about Gurdjieff that has always stuck with me. Apparently, a young man came up to him, and just knowing that he was a profound teacher, said to him, "Please, teacher, tell me something simple that I may do to understand your teaching, something I may actually pick into practice." And Gurdjieff is supposed to have said, "Well, that's very easy. I can tell you quite simply. Wake up. Wake up." And the man said, but I am awake." And Gurdjieff said, "No, you're not. You're sleepwalking through your life. And not only that, most people are. And if you don't believe me, just start walking down the street and look at people's faces." Well, the story really hit me. And at that time, I was living in Boston, and most days of the week, I was going for long walks through the city where I was encountering, probably 1,000 people a day. So I started to watch them. And I'd walk down the street and I would sort of peer into the eyes of the people I was passing. And you know what? Most of them were completely glazed over. They were walking, but were they paying attention to where they were? No. They were someplace very different. Who knows where they were? Back in their childhood, worrying about dinner that night, thinking about something that had happened at work, I don't know, but they sure weren't there. Every once in a while, I'd come across somebody, and when you look for it, it would really strike you. That person really was right there. They were looking around. They were paying attention. They were seeing the world as it was. And it was quite clear that this was something quite extraordinary. And I thought to myself, you know, Gurdjieff was on to something. Jesus was on to something. Wake up. Wake up. About the same time, I had another encounter, another virtual encounter, I suppose it would be. Because about that same time as I heard the story about Gurdjieff, the Dalai Lama had wrote a book called The Art of Happiness that became very popular. As a matter of fact, it was on the bestseller list. And I just happened to see an interview with him on television, on the television news, the 6 o'clock news, which, of course, you know how deep that goes. I just happened to be watching when all of a sudden I perked up because there was the anchor behind the desk saying, "And now we have an interview with a man who has been described as the happiest man alive. Has a bestseller on the best, has a book on the bestseller list. So now, live from the street, we'd like to cut to Chet, who is interviewing the Dalai Lama." And there it cut, and there was a man standing on the street with a microphone saying, "Yes, here in my presence is the man described as the happiest man on earth. Isn't that right, Your Holiness?" And he holds out his microphone, and the man, and the Dalai Lama is just this, you know, happy little round little man, and he just laughed. So the man held his microphone there for a little longer, and then brought it back and said, "So, Your Holiness, I'd like to ask you the question that I know all of our listeners most want to hear. As the happiest man on earth, what was your happiest moment?" And I thought to myself, the Dalai Lama, and the question he comes up with is, what was your happiest moment? I mean, give it to the evening news to take something profound and turn it into a 30-second soundbite. But, you know, there was His Holiness, and he was playing along, and he said, you could see him just sort of thinking, he sort of stared at the reporter with this kind of wise little sparkle to his eye, and he said, "My happiest moment. Let's see." And then he just sort of smiled. And he says, I think it's right now. And the reporter was holding the microphone. And you could see his big fake smile kind of fade just a little bit. And a little bit of air go out of his chest. And he said, "Right now?" He said, "Yes, I think right now, with you." And you could see the reporter thinking, wait a minute, I'm interviewing the happiest man on earth, and he just told me that his happiest moment is right now. But I'm here right now. Is this my happiest moment? But of course, being a professional, he immediately pushed the thought away. And said, "So there you have it, Natalie. The happiest moment of the happiest man on earth. Back to you." But you know, he had done the Dalai Lama has done something profound. Because he had taken this simple question and he had turned it around to say, what was my happiest moment? Whatever moment I'm in, right now, I'm awake, I'm here, I'm with you. That's all I need. Because actually, we live in three realms, don't we? We call them the past, present, and the future. But that's, of course, an illusion because the past is past and the future has not yet come. So what it really is three mental states. One state is where we feel ourselves dwelling on regret or nostalgia, thinking about how wonderful things used to be or how awful they had once been. Or we find ourselves thinking about even more about what might go wrong or what might go right that we really hope is going to happen. Will it go wrong? Will it happen the way we hope? We don't know. It hasn't happened yet. But that little sliver in between is so hard to stay into. And yet, I believe that that's what Jesus is telling us to do, to stay awake to that. Because I believe that that's the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's the part that the Holy Spirit inhabits. So to the extent that we can live in that moment, to be awake to that moment, we are awake to God, to God's presence. I mean, think about it. What are you feeling right now? This is where the Spirit is, right now. It's especially true when we meet other people. Because there, to meet another person without the past, without worrying about what else you have to be doing, but just to be present, that's the gift. When I was a child, my great-grandfather was a bishop in a little church and was quite well known by a number of people, so that I remember him always being surrounded by a crowd. But he was a remarkable man. And I remember as a small child, no bigger than this, seeing the crowd that was surrounding him after church and pushing my way through what amounted to a little forest of knees, kind of pushing through, until finally I came to what I recognized as his coat. And I gave it a little tug. And I remember specifically how he would stop and say, oh, he would look down at me and he would say to those around him, excuse me just a minute. And then he would get down like this. And he would look me right in the eyes. And he would say, what is it, Ernie? And then he would wait. And I knew with his eyes looking at me that I had all the time in the world, that I could tell him anything, and that he would be there. And whenever I imagine Jesus encountering people, like the woman with the hemorrhage, I imagine him looking at her that way, completely accepting, completely there, completely open to whatever she has to give. And I believe that that's what Jesus is inviting us to do. With every person we meet, to not be worrying about the future or the past, but to just be there with them 100%. In other words, to wake up, be present, and praise the Lord.